When you're pregnant, you do your best to keep away from harmful substances. But what about what's in your prenatal multivitamin? This is where Ritual comes in. Our pregnancy support is made traceable and Clean Label Project certified for the many stages of pregnancy, including trying to get there. This is the safe, science-backed support you deserve. Get 25% off at ritual.com/pregnancy support. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family, all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, April 17th, 2025. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. As always, you can find us on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. We're here. After what feels like 12 long months, we are finally back at WrestleMania. Officially, as you're listening to this podcast today, if you're listening on the day we drop, it is WrestleMania Night 1 Saturday. We are going to cover the whole thing here tonight, as well as Stand and Deliver. But before we do, I'm going to kick this around, introduce this cast of characters like I do each and every week on this show, starting with the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He hails from the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine, the man with the bionic back. He's Bucky's tag team partner and a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how are you?
I am wonderful, my friends. I'm excited to reach the end of this road.
Yep. As we reach the end of this road and probably open up new roads by Monday night, going to be a long, fun weekend. But before we get into that, last but never, ever, ever least, the host of the Rob the Genius podcast. He's also a host of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. If you've been listening to us for any length of time, you know this. He is the, and I screwed up his intro. Boy, we are off to a good start here tonight. I love it. We've got good energy. I feel like crap. This is going to be awesome. He is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data. He is the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, the king of the power nap. He's Ray Cash's daddy and the man with the golden shovel, Mr. Rob, sir. How's it going?
All right, if there's any consolation, I was recording a segment for the Rob the Genius podcast before we started here, and I almost called it the Mindless Wrestling Podcast.
We are shot out of a cannon this week. Like I said, I feel like crap. I've been fighting something for 2 days. I'm trying to keep myself together for WrestleMania weekend. The last thing I want to do is go into WrestleMania, of all things, sick, because we've got four very, very, very long action-packed days over the next several days, and there's a lot to talk about. Without further ado, we are going to get into this. We're going to start talking a little bit of NXT Stand and Deliver, and as customary on this show, Jason has the card. We're not going to go too deep on this, but we do want to kick around and give our predictions and talk about a couple things. Jason, sir, the floor is yours.
All right, gentlemen, we have 20 matches to go through with all these cards. So no disrespect to anybody on these cards, but certain matches.
I don't want to go 4 hours.
Based on the weight of the storyline and other factors, we might breeze through some stuff. I say that because we are about to breeze through a match full of people that we like. So we have, starting off the show at Stand and Deliver, We have Metaphor versus Fatal Influence versus Tatum Paxley and Judy Dolan versus Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade in a Fatal 4-Way Tag Team Elimination Match to determine the number one contenders for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. Holy Moses, that's a lot. But I think this is how we soft launch. I mean, Roxanne's already ahead doing double duty. So, yeah, Roxanne and Cora are going to win this, I think. Rob?
Yeah, I mean, there's no point in having them, you know, come back together to not win, and to not win, right? I mean, and, you know, then, yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I mean, the three scenarios are they win or they don't win, and then we go off into a feud against each other because, or, you know, they just lose and they were just there. So I don't think any of those things are going to happen. They're going to win. Rob, not Rob, whoever you are, DJ?
DJ, I'm the guy with the award-winning and holy beard. Ben, this is a tough one. I'm going to pick this apart a little bit for a second. Roxanne has been wavering between the two rosters, so we already know eventually she's going up full-time. Cora Jade has been back and forth with TNA, so I'm not sure she's done there. So I'm removing them as a factor in winning this. Tatum Paxley and Gigi Dolan are still very new in this tag team, so I don't see them doing anything yet. It's do or die time for Fallon Henley. She has been in NXT for a while now. JC Jane, not much, you know, right around the same amount of time. So I'm inclined to say them. However, Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson are favorites of mine, and they've been putting in hellacious work. So I'm going out on a limb and saying Metaphor wins this one.
There you go. Okay.
And so this match is full of people who are, it's basically either time to go up or go home.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't like playing people's jobs like that, but, you know, based on pattern recognition over the last 10 years plus and how long certain people have been there and what programs they're being involved in, you can kind of read the tea leaves, guys.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wasn't intending to be like flippant about people's careers, but.
We never are. I like to get that out in front.
But there are 8 women in this match, and like 6 or 7 of them have been there for 2 years or more in NXT.
Yeah.
It really is time, you know, and look, unfortunately, everyone who gets called up does not pan out. But it is time for most of the women in this match to either, if they're going to go up, then go. And if Hunter or whoever really thinks that they don't have it, then.
It's decision making time.
Yeah, and that's all. Like happened with Duke Hudson earlier, right? I mean, it's decision time one way or another for most of the girls in this match.
Yeah.
The math is the math, and we are very lucky that the women's roster in WWE is fucking unreal. But with that said, you know, there's only so much time. So, we all got that one out, I think. So next up, we have, let's see here, Zarya versus Kalani Jordan versus Sol Ruka versus Izzy Dame versus Lola Vice versus Thea Hale. It's good to see her. Ladder match for the vacant NXT Women's North American Championship. Do the thing. Thea shouldn't stay, probably might. I could see her staying there because of her age. I could see her staying there for another like 3 years or something crazy. But also, she's so freaking good. I could see her then being like, hey, let's see what she's got. So I actually am going to go for Thea on this one. Rob?
I'm going with Saul. I think because Thea's been out, I'm assuming, with an injury of some kind.
Yeah, she's been dealing with some nagging injuries.
So she's got time to catch up on. That and her age, I wouldn't be in any hurry to move her along. So I'm going to go with Saul here. Yeah.
Saul Ruka. DJ?
Sol Ruka is your current speed champion, so I don't think they're going to double belt her.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
I think they do vote Lola. I think they finally pull the trigger on Lola Vice.
There. I don't care what the arrangement is, what the contracts are. It is so stupid that the speed belts exist in basically a different universe. Moving on, we have a fatal four-way match for the NXT Women's Champion. Stephanie Vercoeur is defending her title against Julia, Jordynne Grace, and Jada Parker. I am going to waffle here because I could see just Stephanie retaining. Or, it's Jordynne Grace, man. But we also, I wouldn't say no to any of these people. So, and Jada Parker, yeah. Let's do it. Rob?
Like they all got there like 5 minutes ago except for Jada. So I don't think any of them is leaving.
Well, to be fair, Stephanie and Julia and Jordan arrived with pomp and circumstance that is not normal for just any woman walking in the door.
Yeah. Well, I think, okay, if one of them,
I'm trying to say,
if one of them were to be moving on after this match, it would probably be Stephanie. I think. So, I'm gonna go with Stephanie retaining. Yeah.
If anybody's gonna move on, it's gonna be Jordan, I would think. But
she just got there though, and then also, I mean,
just for the purposes of why are you in NXT? She does not need to be in NXT very long.
Well, skill wise, no, but she's like 4 feet tall, and so she's got to impress some people for a while to get over being 4 feet tall. That's real, okay? It's all fun and games until you're standing across the ring from Nia Jax and you're 4 feet tall.
She's got the same problem with the women's roster.
No, it isn't. 4 feet tall, built like a brick shithouse.
So I know, but she's running into the same.
It's a bliss, like standing at y'all 4 foot nothing. But Jordynne Grace, even short as she is, this isn't Adam Cole now. This is, you know.
Okay, she's 4 feet tall, and the people who watch main roster television don't know her.
Rob, she gave Piper Niven a Death Valley driver in the Royal Rumble. She's gonna be fine.
Okay, hey man.
She is the women's division's Carmelo Hayes. Because if Carmelo Hayes was 6'1", he'd have a different trajectory right now. So you got to figure it out with her, and you know I see both sides. I think you're right. She's going to be just fine, you know. But at the same time, I think she's still got a bit more proving to do on NXT. Of the entire card, this match is the toughest one for me to pick a winner. Not only because I love all four women that are in this, there's a good argument that could be made for all four of them. I'm going Jordynne Grace here because I think Stephanie and Julia have a date somewhere down the line. And Jada, while I think she's awesome, I think she's still developing, I should say. And so we've got a bit more ground to cover with her before she's ready for something that big. I did have a question though, Rob. This is a total of 18 women on this card. Are you going to be okay? It's 18, Bubba. This is like twice as many as they normally have.
I know. It's just and with three matches, this is an outrage. No, but seriously though, it's phenomenal that there and the, you know, there's no Royal Rumble here to inflate the numbers. You got all these. Yes, there are a bunch of multi-woman matches, but still. You know, there's nothing like a Royal Rumble to inflate the numbers here or some wacky battle royal or anything.
There are officially more women competing on this show than there are men. But I think I counted 15 or 16 men.
And I don't think that's the first time it's happened.
That's awesome.
On the NXT thing.
We joke, but that's awesome.
Look, they're the model of how to do this thing. I mean, as far as women's wrestling, they are the model. Everyone else is lagging far behind, and that includes the main roster. Okay. They are the model of how to do this thing. And, you know, again, there are 18 women on this card, and, you know, and then, there are others who are not on this card, and every week they make good use of their roster every week. Every woman who comes on that TV show even comes on there with some type of purpose or something. Yeah. Nobody's just out there taking ale. Or just
Rob, vote on that. They none of them feel like a here damn or a, I guess we'll throw you in. Like they all got to this match, well, whatever it is on Saturday, they got to it organically and like through storyline.
Yes, and so again that is the model to book women to book your women's roster, and this is it. And everyone else, you know, except for people who are like Stardom, who is an all women's promotion, right?
Yeah. But,
every other co-ed brand or promotion is far behind what NXT is doing here. Okay. Yeah. Far behind.
So kudos to Sean and company for that. We want to put that over. We always want to put that over on this show.
Yes.
Yes, sir. All right. So next up we have, we talked about it in the pre-show. Hopefully we have the Band-Aid ripoff match of WrestleMania weekend. We have the tag team, NXT tag team championships being defended by the championship champions. Oh man, I'm a mess. Nathan Frazer and Axiom, better known as Fraxium. They are taking on Hank and Tank. And I think, gentlemen, this is the perfect time. Let's get it done. I know we said they probably put the breakup on the back burner because they were hinting at it for a long time and they are still doing the Cagney and Lacey thing once in a while, but they're not like fighting like they used to. So we thought maybe they're, you know, putting the freeze on the Fraxium breakup. But I would just say, however Fraxium is going to lose these titles, even if you know, put a whatever on the breakup, it's time. This is the perfect opportunity. You got an up and coming, awesome new tag team that's like, that if I were to be like, hey, just imagine a random tag team in NXT, I would probably get to Hank and Tank eventually because they just look like pro wrestlers, you know? And they're great guys. So, you know what? Let's rip the Band-Aid off. Let's get this done. PJ, what do you think?
If they don't do this here, I may crash out. Like, because we have been doing this dance for what seems like a year. That's probably a little bit exaggerative, but it feels like it has been. If we're going to do it, let's do it. And yeah, it's like Hank and Tank are an actual tag team. I'm not saying, you know, Fraxium hasn't. Obviously they won. Weren't they like the tag team of the year with PWI?
I think they were.
I think they, if they weren't number one, they were in the top five. So obviously we're talking about a real tag team and not just a slapdash thing. But it's time to either do this or don't. So yeah, I'm going with Hank and Tank here.
All right. So I love Hank and Tank because they're just pro wrestling, and I love that. So next up we have,
and here we go again.
He's doing it again.
Here we go again.
I'm going to add that to your intro, Jason.
Hey, hang on. I went to you first twice, or three times, excuse me, and then I'm like, okay, let me go to DJ so I'm not, you know, whatever. And then, of course, go ahead.
All right. I'll be real quick, okay? Actually, look, I thought there was – I did think there was actually more juice to squeeze out of Fraxium now. But they've come up with the perfect story for Hank and Tank to win, so I think they should. And I'm still not here for any type of violent Fraxium breakup. Just let them go friendly, okay?
If they want to have a match, like, okay, sure, let's do it. Like, if those two guys were like, no, let's break up and have a match because it's going to be fun, like, sure, why not? But yeah, I don't think we need to do a long saga with them. No. So.
We don't need Fraxium to explode.
we don't need that. Don't need it, but it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Like I said, if they don't make a friggin' 6-month story out of it. So next up, we got Ricky Starks and Ethan Page for the AEW. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a second. Oh, this is weird.
What are you doing?
No, I'm saying like, cause we have Ricky Saints versus Ethan Page.
Oh, I got you. I see what you're saying.
The NXT North American Championship. Imagine saying that a year ago. Did Ethan come a year ago?
Well, you'd have had some crash outs on the app formerly known as Twitter.
Oh man! So no, Ricky Saints, as he is properly known now, in his final form, WWE, well, NXT, soon to be WWE superstar, versus Ethan Page for the North American Championship. This is their you fucked up match to their former employer. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that 5 stars already, I can tell you, because those guys are both capable of it. They know each other well enough, I'm sure. They've actually only wrestled each other one-on-one once, according to Cage Match. But, yeah, I mean, and seriously, I don't care who wins. I assume Ricky's going to win, but I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if Ethan's going up to the main roster, unless they have a lot of stuff for him to do for other people in NXT. Like I was saying, you know, what else does he have to learn about wrestling on TV? Nothing. So Yeah. If I had to bet right now, I'd say Ricky Saints is walking away with his championship. DJ?
This being the only singles match on the card, and I love how he did that. The only singles match on the card, which is pretty amazing. These guys are going to tear the house down. Like, this is going to be, this may be your work rate match of the night right here. And oh, let's see.
Like a little bit, I think.
Huh?
They're going to get a little indie-rific.
Oh, yeah, they're going to. This one goes at least 15 minutes. And yeah, I think Ricky Saints retains.
What do you think about my Ethan goes up there?
Ah, man, that's a tough call because I'm still trying to gauge what he's...
I use him as a foil in NXT a lot, but he doesn't need to learn anything else. Sorry,
no, he, between working TNA, working AEW, Ethan Page has got all the experience they want. I guess it just depends on what they've outlined his role as. If he's like the NXT gatekeeper, then he stays down there a while. If his job is to kind of get the younger up-and-coming talent ready for the bigger show, then he stays there for a while. If they have designs on him being a bigger single star, then yeah, bring him up to the main roster. Let's see what the kid can do.
I mean, because he can do his shtick.
Oh, that works on the main roster. What Ethan Page is doing? Absolutely.
Any part of the card. Like, yeah. All the way up, you could get that to the WrestleMania main event, and that could curtain jerk at NXT. Just the bully, he plays the bully, the like egotistical bully perfectly. Rob, would you like to give your three-fifths of an opinion?
well done.
That was a joke for the nerds out there. Okay, that was joke. Oh.
Okay. all right. all right.
Jason just broke the show.
No, because
it's funny. Is we're the only ones who won't get tagged on Spotify by the new evil AI because we don't use licensed music. But I can say shit like that.
And I know that some of you guys are, some of you people out there listening are totally going to take that the wrong way. But
yeah.
But anyhow, you know. Okay. So I think Ricky wins. I think Ethan goes up. Ethan. I think he's 35 years old. He has a nice 6 or 7 years as a very good mid-card heel. And I could kind of see him being the evil LA Knight on the main roster. If that makes any sense.
I get what you're saying. I like it.
Heartbeat. Yeah. I see exactly what you're saying.
Okay.
All right. So next up, we have a 6-man tag match. We have the D'Angelo family. We got Luca and Tony and Channing Stacks Lorenzo versus Dark State, Dion Lennox, Cutler James, and Shaquan Sugars.
The umbrella. Not the tattoo shield, the umbrella.
Yeah, dude. So Dark State is not doing it for me at all. They are not beating the Teemu Shield allegations at all. And I was the one telling everyone to give them a chance when they came out in the skeleton masks. But, and they are just, they've given me nothing to sink my teeth into so far. Obviously it's very early, but yeah, man. I would expect Dark State to win this because like that, you're this like, Shield and Retribution had a baby and you lose the first match against the Mafia family. Like, come on. So yeah, Dark State's gonna win this, or at least they better. Rob, go ahead.
I think the Umbrella wins. The question, of course, is what happens between Stacks and Tony. But look, if they don't, they gotta win this one, because otherwise, look, if they don't win this one, they should just give them all pink slips waiting for them in the locker room.
Wow.
Seriously.
Wow. The name of this episode is the unemployment episode.
I mean, if you're going to have these guys lose two times within, 5 days?
Yeah, that's sending a clear message. We're now in retribution territory here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah. DJ, what do we do with these guys?
I think Dark State wins. I think Dark State doesn't last to the end of the year. And I think two out of three of these guys gets rebranded.
Yeah, it's just.
Like, I'm reading the names, and none of these names roll off the tongue. They just don't. Like, they just, like, Dion Lennox, okay. Cutler James sounds like create a wrestler. Like, that's literally, you just hit random, and they came up with Cutler James. And then Saquon Sugars, I don't know, man. I think this is Dark State's dead in the water in less than six. And that's not a knock on the talent, because they're perfectly fine workers and they're really trying, but I don't think this is a final gimmick for any of the three of them.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, this is just, you know,
this is a starter gimmick. Let's see what you can do.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. So finally, closing the show, we have a triple threat match for the NXT Championship. We have Trick Williams versus Javon Evans, excuse me, versus the champion, Oba Femi. I end on a good note. I think this is Javon's to take.
Did you have a conversation?
I don't know. It's a three-way. He doesn't have to pin Oba. Trick, I feel like, is going to go up. But I feel like he's going to be on one of the shows after Mania. So, yeah. Let's end this with a feel-good moment. Let's go, Javon. DJ.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. This is Trick Williams' graduation match. So he's not winning. Man, this is another one that I hate to call because I love all three of these guys. I don't think Oba's done with this run, though. So I think Oba Femi finds a way to win this.
DJ? DJ already went. See, I'm all over the place. Rob?
Yeah, I think Oba wins. I think Trick's going up, and I think what they end up doing, like, next week or something, Trick challenges Oba to a one-on-one match, and he loses, and that's just kind of farewell.
All right.
Makes sense to me.
So that brings us to the end of Stand and Deliver.
Yeah, all in all, man, like I told you guys in the pre-show, there's not a bad match on this card. I know we didn't get too deep in the woods with a lot of the angles and the stories, but I wanted to talk about the card itself. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, every match is at least going to be enjoyable. Like, yeah, it's going to be a great show.
Yeah. All right, so as we finish up NXT Stand and Deliver, we are getting into the meat and potatoes of this podcast, the meat and potatoes of the weekend. We are feasting as wrestling and WWE fans. WrestleMania, we've got the SmackDown before, which they'll probably finalize a couple last-minute things there. We've got the Hall of Fame immediately following that. And then we just blow right into the weekend. Jason, let's go ahead and start night one's card, unless you've got some thoughts.
No, I mean, we should jump right into it because there's a ton.
Yeah, we got a lot to go over here.
So starting the show, jerking the curtain, Jey Uso is going to challenge Royal Rumble winner Jey Uso is going to challenge Gunther for the – I'm sorry, it is funny that we have another – we won the Royal Rumble for a main event at WrestleMania. First match on the card. The World Heavyweight Championship is on the line. Gunther's defending his title. We don't have to go long here. Jey, finish the story. Rob?
Yeah, pretty much. This is Jey wins it and everybody celebrates. Yay.
You will bring that entire next until you get to the main event, you might not recover that crowd if Jey loses.
Oh, no, look, no, if Jey loses, then it's, I mean, it's going to be Baltimore, July 88, people chanting, you know.
Okay, we have the war, I'll just go through it quickly. We got a luchador match, we got Jade Cargill and Naomi might get people up. Jacob Fatu and LA Knight, they'll get up for the spots. Tiffany and Charlotte, I don't know. Like, I'm serious. You will ruin that whole card if Gunther wins. So, DJ?
I agree with you guys. I think Jey wins this one. My question is, does Jey leave Gunther a bloody mess? Because I feel like there needs to be blood in the water on this one. After what happened to Jimmy?
I don't think there's going to be Lud, but there it's going to be. He will end it with like a concerto with Jace, or like a. He's going to put the chair on the guy's neck and then give him a super kick or something like that.
Okay.
So, Rob.
All right, went.
He went. Oh, that, oh yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah, I'm trying to make sure that don't.
Hey, listen, right. So first of all, I got 3/5 of an opinion. Now I get 2 opinions. I mean, was that reparations or something?
Reparations. Oh man, I'm hitting the racial bingo tonight. I'm loving it. All right, let's go. We got the War Raiders and the New Day contesting the World Tag Team Championships. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. Everyone wants Big E. Some people who are dorks expect Big E. I think if we get Big E, it is not in a working fashion. So everyone just calm down. And yeah, I think New Day is going to win, but I just don't know. The whole thing is weird to me because of the E like thing orbiting it. And it's like, I don't want to hope for that because he's given no indication that, I don't know. It's a very odd state to be in. But I think New Day is going to win this regardless. Rob.
Okay. They win by cheating. If Big E is there, then he doesn't run in the ring and do a bunch of bumps or anything, but he pulls somebody's leg or something and keeps him from winning. But I doubt that happens. New Day wins. They cheat to win. They're tag team champs because otherwise, why are we having this match on the show?
I mean,
because look, we were all thinking they were going to do the SmackDown tag team, some type of extravaganza, triple threat, something or other, ladder match or something. And they didn't, they're not doing that. They're doing this instead. So, this should not be here if New Day doesn't win.
There you go. Rob, or TJ, I'm all over the place, man.
And now you can't tell us apart.
That's the trifecta. There it is. There it is. The racial trifecta.
You're both my friends. I just see two friends. That's it. I don't see color.
Oh, he doesn't see color. There it is. 4. Jason, keep swinging, buddy. You want a bigger shovel?
By the end of the night, man, I'm going to get them all. Don't worry.
There's one you better not get to, okay?
Yeah, don't get to that one.
Look,
if you ever seen the Chevy Chase Richard Pryor skit from Saturday Night Live, you know what I'm talking about, people.
Yeah, don't get to that. That is the one way we will get canceled. So, moving on.
Dead Jason. No, you know what? I'm gonna make the call. I think the reason they did this match is for the generational pop that Big E's gonna get. And you do that at Mania. That's the only reason why you do it at Mania. And I think the only reason they did this heel turn is because I think they have been quietly getting Big E ready to come back. Otherwise, you don't do this. Like, to me, that's the tea leaves that I'm reading. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I tell you what, if I'm right, you guys will hear me holla from Central Florida. If okay. Big E comes out on night one, you guys will hear me holler.
But here's the thing. Big E needs to help Kofi. Or not Kofi. So is he going to come out and help them? Is he going to come out and stop them?
Those ungrateful a-holes.
Okay.
He's going to come out and cost them the match.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. I don't know. I just hate the uncertainty, you know?
I know. I don't want to be that type of fan that sets myself up and then yells at WWE, you promised me Big E. No, we didn't.
No,
you know, didn't. I don't want to be that guy.
And the other thing is, like, in past cases like this, except for, like, you know, Roman was different, but, like, when Daniel was cleared, we knew. Like, we knew already. It was out. They were making it very obvious, and he was going to be on SmackDown. Like, and we all knew what he was going to say. We all still went ballistic when he said it. But, like, I don't like using once the injury becomes life-changing, like, reference it in the past all the time. Once you're through it, go nuts. But while you're doing it, like, I don't know. I just, it gives me the heebie-jeebies. Like, well, Drew was saying, telling Roman that he was going to finish the job cancer started. Like, holy shit, that was awesome. But this is weird. You know?
I don't know. We'll see what happens. What's next?
Next up, we have Luchador Extravaganza. We have Rey Mysterio versus El Grande Americano. And El Grande Americano has been awesome. El Grande Americano has been fun. El Grande Americano has a shelf life. And I feel like this is another one you just do a chalk. Rey wins, unmasks him. We do the whole thing. And then we find out it was Otis the whole time. DJ.
Which would be hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think this is pretty straight up. I don't think that Chad Gable's story is done with the Luchadors, but I think Americano's part to play in this is done after Saturday night.
Wait, what does Chad Gable have to do with this match? Anyway, whatever.
I don't know. He's currently investigating El Grande Americano. That's investigating.
Right. I was going to say, because Chad's not in this match, so I don't know why you'd bring him.
But he is hot on the case. He's hot on the case investigating.
I apologize. Never found out who Mr. America was. Maybe we'll never find out who El Grande Americano is. Rob, what do you think?
Okay, because I was on earnest last night, I said that El Grande was going to win. But now you've kind of talked me out of that. So, yeah, I think this is Rey at WrestleMania. Rey's probably going to win.
It's Rey. It's like... I mean, the man's superhuman, but closer to the finish line than...
Oh, yeah. You know? And that's the other thing, yeah, because, I mean, Rey is on the clock. He's year to year now. So, who knows? I mean, look, he could 3 months from now, he could say, hey, guys, you know what? Can't do it anymore. So,
yeah.
So at this point, you know, ain't nobody paying money to see Rey lose. So, yeah, I think he wins.
I mean, that happens with athletes all the time. Like, they take that one bump, or they take – there have been dudes who quit the NFL at halftime. So
– oh, yeah. That was hilarious, too. He was just like, you know what? He was like, fuck this shit.
And I can, like, understand that mentality. You take that one 7 millionth hit that just rattles your bones, and you're just like, you know what? Enough.
So you open up your phone app, you look at your bank account, you're like, I don't need this shit anymore.
And Rey Mysterio will be just fine. But again, he is superhuman, so he could also go another 10 years, and I'd be like, well, that's Rey, I guess. So next up, did we both go on that? Because we both went. Did we all go?
I think we all went.
All right, cool. I got Jade and Naomi, baby.
Yes.
This has been awesome. And Naomi has been – I hate that she's rocking this. And, like, Roman did it, and John did it, and, like, I'm like, because, really, guys, the answer is not just turn them heel. But, my God, it's the answer for some people. Yeah, Naomi has just been putting on amazing work, and Jade has plenty of runway, and I feel like you neuter the heel character of this new and dangerous Naomi if you just have her lose. So Naomi should win this. I'm not just being partial. I'm being, you know, right down the middle to tell the story I would tell it. Rob, what do you think?
Well, look, my fantasy booking all along has been that Lash and Jakari hoping they only win. I'm sticking with that.
All right. DJ?
I had something similar. My official staff pick for the Chair Shot Radio Network is this is my non-finish of the night because there's no way that this feud ends at WrestleMania. And so I think there's some type of non-finish, but I do like, Lash and Chikara helping her because in my head, I've fast forwarded to Survivor Series and I can see a match where you've got Naomi, Lash and Chikara and maybe one other woman against Bianca, Jade, maybe Michin, Jada Parker. I see a scenario in my head where that would be a pretty goddamn fun War Games match.
And also, by the way, Lash and Jakara, we're not just putting the black women together. It's just Lash and Jakara have history with Jade and Bianca in matches and whatnot. So
yeah.
It's not just throwing the black women together.
But adding them into the story, and this is part of why I picked them to win their match on Stand and Deliver, because then they get a championship, they get a main roster tag team championship match, which I think they can win, which ties into Bianca, Jade, and Naomi, centering around the women's tag team championships.
I'm all for that. And frankly, if they intended it to or not, whatever, it is still very cool to see a story like this that is, that if it goes the way you say, Rob, or that you would like or predict, this would be a story that is just totally organic of that it's all black women. And it's not, you know, there's no weirdness or weird gimmicks, I'll say, that got us there, you know, some insensitive gimmick or something like that. So it's awesome. And yeah, I think that makes perfect sense to keep it going. So yeah, you kind of talked me into the non-finish thing there, DJ.
I think there's a non-finisher. Like you said, there's no way this feud ends at WrestleMania. It's too hot. Naomi's too good. Jade is still a rising star. You keep this one going.
All right. Rob, I'm sorry. What was your final prediction?
I said Lash and Jakara help Naomi win.
Naomi, yeah. Okay. All right. So next up, and I mean, that would continue the feud too. So that's also a good idea. I was thinking Naomi would just friggin' win. So,
I do not think she should.
Naomi does not win this straight out.
Sorry, she'll a turnbuckle spot or something. She'll do standard heel gimmick, but it would be on her own. Sorry, it wouldn't be a straight up 1-2-3 to Jade Cargill. No, you bounce her off the turnbuckle or whatever. Anyway, L.A. Knight, Jacob Fatu, L.A. Knight is defending his United States Championship. L.A. Knight, thanks for coming, but you are going to get squashed by Jacob Fatu, unless we will also preview this card a little bit, and I will tell you that Solo Sikoa is not on this card. So I would add him as some sort of wild card in this match. Rob, what do you think?
I think Solo cost Jacob the match. The only question is it on purpose or is it inadvertently?
Okay, that's the million-dollar question. DJ.
Yeah, I'm lining up with the two of you. I think, you know, either on accident or incident, Solo causes Jacob to lose this match. I think, L.A. Knight keeps rolling as U.S. champ.
Okay, so next up, we have the WWE Women's Championship being defended by the champion Tiffany Stratton, former Miss Money in the Bank, against the, how many time, Rob?
14.
14 time women's champion. Woo! Charlotte Flair. When this thing first started, when she won the championship, I was like, yeah, she'll win at WrestleMania. Tiffany, I mean. Whoever her opponent is, she'll win at WrestleMania. Like, I think she's gonna keep it through that. And now, we've gotten here, and look, Tiffany's awesome. And I'm going to like put aside the where she working, where she shooting, that whole thing going on. Went into business for herself, whatever you want to call it. That, because apparently according to all of their, you know, PR and, you know, like official PR and unofficial PR, like Sean Ross Sapp, that whole gimmick, beef was squashed and everybody walked away and said, okay, we will do better. So I'm going to just take that at face value and say, okay. Now, that said, Tiffany is excellent. Tiffany is also not on Charlotte's level. Charlotte is...
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this, a movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.
In sixth gear right now, and she is cruising. And Charlotte is one of the best women on the roster. Like, one of the best women in wrestling. Rob, I know, you know, enjoy. You're probably going to record this. Well, keep this recording. And I just think it has always looked like Tiffany is, like, really struggling to punch up. So I would tell you this feud was a mistake, but now that you're here, Charlotte should win. Rob, what do you think?
Okay, I do think it was a mistake to put them together because one, they've never worked together at all, and this is WrestleMania. I'm having two people who've never worked together is not a good idea for WrestleMania.
No.
But also, I think, look, they're still figuring out what the hell Tiffany's character is supposed to be. Because she's more, I think she's naturally a heel, but people started cheering her last year. So they decided to, you know, flip things around, but she's not really natural as a baby face, to be honest. I don't think so. And so everything's kind of awkward. And I think they probably should have waited to had all this stuff figured out before they put them together. Because in this particular instance, Charlotte is not here to hold anybody's hand. She was out injured for over a year. Okay. You know, sometimes you come back for yourself. Okay. And she's back for herself right now. Regardless of how this match goes, you know, she's been out for over a year and she's looking to get back to being who she is. So it was probably not a good idea to put her with somebody, quote unquote, new. All right. That being said, it's here. Y'all know who I'm picking to win, so it don't matter. I'm rooting for number 15. We're getting number 15. And if it don't happen, I'll probably turn the show off and not watch the rest of it. Okay.
You don't even want to see 17 the night before, the night after?
I don't care. I mean, you know, look, I don't care that she gets to 17. I don't give Cena. I don't care about it. I'm talking about like Saturday. I'm talking about the rest of the show Saturday. I'll watch night two regardless, but you know, anyway.
I'm just going to watch Punk and Roman and get bent. Get out of here.
Hey, that's how it is sometimes, okay?
I guess so. All right. So next up, speaking of that, that's coming up, right? Yeah.
Hi, I think Charlotte's going to win. Go ahead, Jason.
No, that's okay. DJ, do you have anything to say?
No, I think Charlotte's going to win. Okay, Jason.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So next up, we have the main event of the evening. We have Roman Reigns versus CM Punk with Paul Heyman versus Seth Rollins in a triple threat match. I think that based on Roman's social media, he is really selling the missing the wise man thing, like really selling and like, being pissed at the wise man because he apparently has two phones because on his Instagram, he took a video of the wise man calling and him not answering. So they're pushing that angle really, really hard. And I'd also tell you that, you know, Paul Heyman is a rules lawyer. If you're a gaming person, you know, he will make sure by the letter of what the law and by the letter of what he said and what they said and blah, blah, blah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but has anyone at all said anything about who Paul Heyman is walking out of WrestleMania with? I don't believe so. So.
No, that's to be determined.
Right. I think this, whether he wins or not, I think this is another fake out and Paul's going back to Roman by the end of this match. As for who wins, I think if that happens, it makes logical sense for Roman to win. And then just like get into total like, no, like I'd be very bummed out if CM Punk were to win. Cause like just everything. It's like, okay. You get to have your cake, eat it too, and just, you know, have your little hat and everything. All right. Well, while you made it miserable for people for quite a number of years, you and your fans. Awesome. But you're making them money, so that's the end. That's the end all be all. My official prediction though is I think Roman's going to win this and he'll walk out with the wise man and Seth will, and Seth's favor is a red herring. Like Paul Heyman's going to get on Monday night or Friday night and say exactly what I've been saying. If I, Paul Heyman, owed a favor to everyone who wanted to but didn't kick my ass, I'd still be just cash and favors. I wouldn't work here. I'd just be doing people's laundry and stuff. So, yeah, that's what I got. DJ?
I think Seth Rollins wins this. I think he's due a WrestleMania win. I think there's a larger story at play that goes even beyond Paul Heyman. And I think Seth is going to play a larger part in that story, especially with Roman, you know, basically admitting I got 2 years left. Give or take, I've got 2 years left before I start looking at other things. We need to move somebody into his slot, and it's obviously Seth Rollins.
We've tried that before. Rob?
Okay, so I think this goes one of two ways. I think either, Roman gets preoccupied with Seth, and it costs him the match some kind of way. Or Roman does win and we end up with like a Don King situation. So Don King came to the ring with Joe Frazier. Joe Frazier got knocked out by George Foreman and Don King left with George Foreman. I think we could see a Paul comes in with Punk and leaves with Roman situation. I'm not sure who wins because on the one hand, look, Punk is just happy to be there. He got his WrestleMania main event.
Yeah, winning, it's not important to him.
No.
Similar kind of. He got a taker match. He wasn't like, oh, I'm going to be the one to do it.
Well, yeah, but, and I mean, I think Seth is due for a, you know, he's lost more Mania matches than he's won over the last several years. I mean, so you could say he's due for, you know, he's due to win one. But Roman lost last year.
I think 31 counts as like 3 WrestleMania wins. Okay. At least 2. That's insane. Will you catch?
He lost to Randy Orton earlier in the night.
Right. And he cashed in at the main event in something that's never been done and something that's still an all-time fucking thing.
And it was great, wasn't it? What a great moment. I love it. Yay, Seth Rollins! Yay!
I'm not even going to say that about Roman stack smashing and pinning Edge and Daniel. That was wild, but it wasn't like... I didn't even experience 31 live, and I could tell you that I feel like that was just more like, what the fuck just happened?
It was awesome.
What was it? You guys lived through both, so.
It was awesome. Yeah. I was like Rob when Luke Skywalker showed up at the end of The Mandalorian. I was running laps around the living room. It was great.
Rob, as a non-fan, okay, on the other side where you're a Roman fan, what do you think?
I predicted it because I figured, okay, because I thought that the way Roman was getting treated by the fans in the building, I just didn't think they were going to have him win and get booed, you know, for winning the world championship. So I thought they were going to find some way to get out of it. And I figured, well, I did predict that they would do the briefcase because I figured that was their way to get out of, you know.
Did you maintain that? I have to ask this. Sorry, we're getting way off topic, but I got to ask. Did you maintain that once you saw the RKO that he took?
Oh, yeah, because my prediction was that if Seth loses to Randy, he's going to cash in the briefcase.
And I was having a conversation on Twitter with one of the boys from Three Count Thursday. I think it may have been Ryan or Jim. I don't remember which one it was, but they were on Twitter and they were like, oh, come on, man. Seth needed that win. Randy didn't. And I think I responded to him. I said, look, the night ain't over. Like, Rob, I knew as soon as he took the RKO and lost to Randy, he was cashing in. I'm like, no, this ain't over. This is happening tonight.
But during the main event, like that. That's wild.
I knew it was coming. I was waiting for it.
No, I mean, when it happened, it was still, I mean, because when Seth ran out there, I was like, I knew it.
Yeah.
Even though I was rooting for Roman to win, but when I'm always happy to be right. You all know me. So when he came out there, yeah, I was like Thor when Cap got the hammer. It's like, I knew it.
It's awesome. All right, so I guess we're going to move on to night 2.
Yeah, let's get after it, man. Night 2, WrestleMania. Let's get into this.
All right, so next up for the Women's World Championship, DJ, that's the one that looks like an old school title. Like it's
Raw Women's, the Raw Women's Championship.
The Raw Women's Championship.
The Women's World Champion, Io Sky, is defending her championship against Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley. I think Io Sky is going to win because... Let's go with the, at least with the story as told, let's go chalk. Because Bianca and Rhea are going to, you know, get distracted with each other. Io's going to be like, you bitches, what about me? Like, I'm the friggin' champion, and I've been loving this from Io. That dropkick off the ropes last week to Bianca's back was brutal.
Yeah, that was rough. That was a good spot.
Oh, that was awesome. So I think Io's going to win. Rob?
I think so, because, again, the story that they're telling here says that she should win. I mean, otherwise, I mean, the only other thing that happened, I mean, unless they were just doing this to shake things up for a couple months and Rhea wins the belt back, which, I think Io hangs on here.
All right. What if, I don't know, let's see here, DJ?
Yeah, I think Io retains, and I'm going to go even out on a further limb here and say she pins Rhea.
Ooh.
Bianca doesn't take the pin here.
Okay.
No, I think Bianca's here is a red herring.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. And let's see here. After the Women's World Championship match. My God, I just lost my card. All right. We have the Women's WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. We have Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez defending their championships against Bayley and Lyra Valkyria. Not much to say here. The match will be fine, and Bayley and Valkyria should finish the story at this point. DJ?
I agree. I think those two are headed for a crash out, but I think they win the tag team championships first, and I think they end up ultimately losing them to whoever wins the NXT Stand and Deliver champion or the championship opportunity. They crash out after that. Match happens at Backlash, and the two of them crash out there.
We're doing two belts, Bird Lady?
Yes, might as well.
Why not?
Or she loses that thing in quick order. The Women's Intercontinental Championship. She may lose that Monday night.
Okay. Let's see here. Next up, we have a good old-fashioned single.
And you didn't ask me who was going to win.
He skipped you again, my God.
Who's going to win?
I think the champs retain. I think this was a slap together match. I think the champs retain.
Fair enough. Look,
Target just called Al Sharpton to try to fix things. Okay, are you going to do that now?
Hey, if Al Sharpton calls me, I'll pick up. All right. Let's see here. Next up, we have AJ Styles and Logan Paul in that good old-fashioned singles match. I look for this to be a spot fest, and Logan Paul will continue to do things that, you know, are pretty damn impressive. And I think you could go either way here. You know, it doesn't really, the Logan Paul matches do not matter because he just comes out and cuts the same promo the next night, which is fantastic. Some heels should do that. If I have to predict, Styles. Rob?
I'm going AJ. AJ's due for a win. I think now, question is, how's Karrion Kross fit in all of this? I don't know. But I'm picking AJ to win. AJ's due for a win. He hasn't won in a while.
Fair enough. DJ?
Yeah, I think AJ wins this one. Again, we're talking about another guy who is loudly said, okay, I've got 2 years left, you know, and while in those 2 years, there will come a time where he's going to have to put over some younger talent. I don't think Sunday night is the night. And on a side note here, I'm glad that they have finally found something for Karrion Kross to do that is interesting. And because this guy, we've talked at length about the Karrion, as Jason calls it, the Karrion Kross experience and how we didn't feel like it was going anywhere. And it finally feels like they figured it out with this guy, and I'm here for it. Like, I want to see where this is going now.
All righty. So next up, we have a match that could be – it could be match of the weekend. We have Bron Breakker defending his Intercontinental Championship in a fatal four-way against Penta and Finn Balor and Dominic Mysterio. It's going to be bonkers, and I expect at least – Finn and Braun will do some sort of spear that's ridiculous. Finn and Penta will do something, you know, high-flying and ridiculous. And Dominic will probably take all three of them. So, yeah, it's going to be awesome. But I could see Braun retaining, but I could also see Penta winning. Those are my – I'm going to waffle on this one. But if I have to pick, gun to my head, Penta. Rob?
I think Braun retains because if he doesn't, what's there to do? He's not going after the world title. Unless he's going to go after the world title, there's no reason to take the belt off of him, I don't think, yet. So I think Braun retains. I think the key is that Dom and Finn fuck it up for each other.
Okay, fair enough. DJ?
Yeah, I agree. I think Braun retains here. There's no place for him right now in the main event scene, and I'm loving what he's done with the Intercontinental Championship. Like, this feels like the workhorse belt again. The Intercontinental Championship was always the workhorse championship, and he's brought that feel back for me. I'm okay with it if he runs with this thing for a little while. And Judgment Day, this is the end of Judgment Day, I think.
Gotta be, right? I hope. Because they're kind of we're running out of gas, guys.
Yeah, it's out of steam. It has been.
In a good old fashioned Sin City street fight, we got Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre gonna beat the shit out of each other. So that's my main prediction, is that there will be violence. And they will take some bumps that make you go, ooh. And I think give it to Drew. Drew's gotta have this, right?
I think it can go either way.
It could.
I'm just hoping for some proper city themed weaponry. You know, some kind.
Somebody needs to be thrown into a slot machine, yeah.
Yeah, or somebody needs to get hit with like a giant sized poker chip or something.
Right. DJ?
Man, this is a tough one to call because I love both of these guys. I would be okay with either one of them winning. I just want dudes beating the crap out of each other, and I think Drew McIntyre's too.
All right. So next up, we have the main event of the evening, the singles match for the undisputed WWE Championship, Cody Rhodes defending his title against John Cena.
Pause. Did we talk about Randy Orton? Because Randy Orton is still slotted to be in Mania.
Technically, he is not on the card, so I totally forgot about that. It doesn't have, you know, Randy against TBD. So, but yeah, it's got to be Aldis, right?
I hope so. I mean, I hope it is, because if it's somebody new, again, just like nobody's paying to see Ray lose in WrestleMania, nobody's paying to see Randy lose unless it's like to Cody or somebody. And if it's all this, if it's somebody new or somebody returning, then he kind of has to do the job. And again, I think ain't nobody wanting to see that right now with Randy. So I hope it's all this, and then all this can show everybody what he can do, and they can have a great match together, and then he can get an RKO, and Randy can beat him, and then they can shake hands and all that, you know.
All right. DJ?
I don't think we get a match. I think we get a segment, and this was one of my staff picks for the chair shot. I think the Wyatt Six come out. I think this is because the Wyatt Six have been heavily rumored to have a spot doing something at WrestleMania. I think what they were going to do was still in the air, and I think an opportunity came up. There's history there with Randy and Bray Wyatt. So I really think, and the Wyatt Six really need a refresh. Like, I love the idea. I love the concept. I'm rooting for everybody involved. But there's a reason why they moved them to SmackDown, and I think part of that reason was it just wasn't working. So I think they need a refresh. They need to start over as heels. This is a heel faction. And I think it's okay to bring them out, have them absolutely crucify Randy Orton in a segment, not a match.
All right. I honestly hadn't even, like, drawn a line from the Wyatt Six to...
There is a direct line.
And you're like, they have history. I'm like, no, let's not, for any of our newer viewers or listeners, Randy Orton was in the Wyatt family.
He was.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is a direct line to Randy Orton from Wyatt Six.
That turned into a feud between Bray and Randy, and it ended in a match for the world championship, the belt, the WWE title, Bruno's, at WrestleMania.
Yes.
So,
with maggots being projected onto the ring.
God bless. It was fun. rest in peace, Bray. He was the best, man.
He was. I miss that dude every day.
Seriously, every time we watch wrestling, I'm just like, ah. Anyway. That's perfect. Like I said, I hadn't drawn that line even in pencil, but as soon as you said it, I'm like, oh yeah, Randy could have fun with the Wyatt Six for like 6 months. So, good idea, DJ.
And you can get Alexa Bliss involved in that too.
Bingo. And Alexa and Randy, wow. It's poetry.
It is.
So there, that
now you can do the main event, sir.
Now that brings us to the main event of the evening. Cody Rhodes, John Cena, title 17 coming to John. I hope so. Cause I mean, you utterly wasted it if you turn John Cena heel and just like, nope, he didn't. Okay. Rob?
See, our crazy boss, Greg DeMarco, has convinced me that Cody winning is a possibility.
Ow.
Well, I don't remember what Greg's reasoning was, but I said when I was on Ernest last night, I mentioned the schedule and the calendar. Yeah, I just think, you know what? It would basically be nothing matters. I know. And I tend to not like that type of stuff. I mean, but you know, I'm going to go crazy here and, yeah, I'm going to do the crazy thing and I'm going to pick Cody to win.
Okay. Book the end and book the next night for me.
Next night, I think it's what Greg has been saying, that, you know, Rock finally comes to work and says, you failed Cena, you loser. And, you know, and then we turn him back.
That just seems so cheesy. So,
I'm
usually pretty good at eating most things that WWE feeds me. And I am the biggest e-drone probably on Elon Musk's app. Okay? But I would be looking like, not like I'm going to like angry tweet and never watch again, but even I'm going to be like, what the fuck was that?
Okay, I'm not saying it's a good idea. I'm saying it's a possibility.
And then historically, they shit the bed on certain things. And to me, that would be a shit the bed.
Yeah. And look, I was not even considering it before Greg brought it up. I don't know. But probably, if I was betting on it, I would bet on Cena to win. Which, by the way, look, if any of you losers has like a 10-match parlay or something this weekend, please get some help.
Oh, Jesus. DJ, what do you think?
I don't know. I really think that...
What happened? We've been booking this thing for weeks.
No, I know. I was looking for something because I was looking for something specific. But, no, come on, man. John Cena's got to win this. Otherwise, what are we doing? What are we doing here? I mean, it's you turned him heel for what?
You turned him heel to put a notch on Cody's belt. Fuck you. How about that?
I'm okay with that. Yep, that sounds good, Jason.
That's insane to me.
Yeah.
Like, if that was the deal, then just run him as a face and, like, I don't know. And just do, oh, Cody, you did it. Shake his hand. Like, the crowd would be eating that up, too.
I guess the only question mark I would have is if John wins, then what? Because he's not making a full-time run. And obviously he could go do the Brock Lesnar thing and disappear for a couple of months and come back and disappear and come back as the big matches and the big moments call for. So, nah, I think John wins.
All right. Well, Rob, come on. You got to get to the finish line, man.
Okay. All right. Well, look, somebody's got to do the wacky contrarian pick, so I'll do it and I'll eat it. And if it doesn't happen, if what we all expect to happen happens, then you guys can just throw it in my face, you know, next week.
And if what Greg thinks might happen happens next week, I'll admit I was wrong. Into a live mic, I'll admit I was wrong.
But I will tell you what, next week
and we'll be like, no, I'm sorry, everyone. We didn't realize it, but in fact, and we thought we were in a new era and whatnot, but no, they are still that stupid.
I will kvetch into the microphone as well.
Oh, that's yeah,
I will be mad online, I promise you. I will send a tweet, maybe even a Vine. Ah, I can't do that anymore.
Look, if it happens, I will tip my hat to Greg, and then I will promptly shit on it, okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll admit I was wrong and then crap all over it.
Oi, oi, oi. Yeah, so that brings us to the end, unless there's any surprise events or anything like that.
I don't know. Well, let's talk about surprises. Do we see any? I mean, obviously, Dwayne has to show up, right?
I hope
like,
so.
Dwayne has to close out night two somehow or another.
I mean, man hasn't come to work since March 1st. I mean, dude. Yeah.
Like, what are we doing if he doesn't show up at the end? Whether Cena wins or Cody wins, you know, The Rock's got to be there. The final boss has to show up in the final moments of WrestleMania. WrestleMania main event that he booked.
Yeah, that's a foregone conclusion, because, I mean, he's going to show up. He's going to be the closing shot, I feel like. So he's going to either come out and, like, excuse me, stare at Cody like, you know, Thanos style, like, I got to do it myself now. I'm going to kill you. Or he's going to come out and raise John's hand.
I think your closing shot of WrestleMania 41 Night 2 is John Cena holding up the undisputed WWE Championship and The Rock holding up the undisputed Muhammad Ali's wife gave me this belt so that I can parade it around on TV. That is your closing shot.
No, let's not. It is the People's Championship. Show some respect.
Okay, but all right.
I respect it. That title is badass, dude.
I whack this drum every single time it's brought up, but it's legit. It's as legit as you can get without fighting for it.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's a wonderful championship. I love that belt. I wish they'd make a replica. I would buy one.
And again, I'm just going to say it real fast. Muhammad Ali's wife gave that to The Rock. Dwayne Johnson, the dude in real life, as bestowing her husband's, the greatest boxer of all time, his nickname, the People's Champion. She is formally bequeathing that to The Rock.
Like, she crowned him, yep.
It is a pretty cool thing.
Yes. But that being said, if Cena wins, then Dwayne is absolutely walking out there holding that belt up, and he's going to, because he needs something to hold up too. So he's
stuck out. And the story that they're telling is Dwayne will hold his just a little higher.
Well, and also, I mean, not to get too nerdy about it, but Cody, all has but said he is basically, he's the People's Champion, you know? So it's, yep. The Rock in his ego is not going to let go of that.
No, and look, by the way, look, if I had that belt, I would bring it out with me every time I came out also. So I'm not. Oh,
yeah. If I'd wear that thing in the shower, are you kidding me? Like, Muhammad Ali's, like, I would never take it off and never let it out of my sight.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, look, I'd be wearing that belt walking around the house, and my kids would be like, Dad, why are you wearing that thing? It's like, cause
Muhammad Ali's wife gave me this. Shut up.
Yeah.
That's great. So, yeah, guys, we've got a huge weekend. Like you said, we've got SmackDown on Friday, the Hall of Fame ceremony after that. Are you guys going to watch the Hall of Fame? I'm not going to catch it live. No. I'm damn sure not staying up until midnight on Friday night, man. I'm working Friday. Will you watch it Saturday, or are you going to watch it at all?
I'll get around to it at some point, but it's like, I mean, SmackDown Friday, Stand and Deliver, Night 1, Night 2. Yeah, that's a lot.
Guys, people are already belly aching on 19 hours of shut up. You don't have to watch all 19 of it. There's literally 8 hours of WrestleMania and probably 3 hours of Stand and Deliver. That's 11 hours. You don't have to watch the pre-show. You don't have to. I'm not sitting up for the post-show. I never sit up for the post-show. I'm not watching that shit. I'll catch the Cliff Notes online the next morning. If anything important happens, I'll hear about it.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I think the SmackDown, Friday Night SmackDown may not be happening, okay, for me.
Yeah, the power nap may catch up with Rob.
I mean, dude, there's no way, because there's no way I'm watching that and Stand and Deliver and two nights. That's not all.
It's WrestleMania weekend. We've been on the road for 6 damn months or 4 damn months or whatever it is, 4 damn months, and we're finally here, and it's a damn good card. It's a damn good build. It's time to go full sicko mode, boys.
We just passed the last mile marker, and Rob's ready to pull into a rest stop.
Exactly. Two bottles of beer. Oh, hold on, guys.
Okay, we just went to Philadelphia a couple of weekends ago, dude, okay?
Yeah, and we went sicko mode there too. We walked all around town and we did stuff and we ate food and then we watched some goddamn wrestling and then we walked.
Yeah, but that was that other promotion that's owned by the NFL owner's kid.
Oh, can we talk about that for a second?
Please, Jason. That was my segue. I know you wanted to talk about that.
So I won't go. Nick Khan was on his annual Bill Simmons pre-WrestleMania like check-in, I guess, because he did one last year. But he and Bill Simmons are like legitimately friends. They've known each other for a long time through the Lakers and, you know, NBA and all sorts of stuff. So we're very chummy. So he was on the pod and he talked about all sorts of stuff. I'd encourage you to go listen to it. It is very, very, very informative. It speaks to just, even compared to last year, what he was talking about, like just the growth of media and how some of the missteps that streaming and other services have made and like how other services have made up ground and things like that. It's fascinating stuff. But he did fire a little shot by not firing any shots at all. He never said AEW's name once. He basically was just like, yeah, it's great for them. And when we want people, when their contracts are up, we will talk to them. And they like kind of left it at that. And then at the end, I forget how Bill got him there, but he basically says, but oh yeah, you know, they're great. Nothing but respect to the father, you know, who pays
father
for
who funds the thing.
Funds the thing and owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I was just like, oh, so again, go back and listen to it, folks, and go listen to the whole thing because it's very, very good. But he basically, in the nicest humanly way possible, he, a former like NFL agent and Hollywood agent and whatnot, called Tony Khan just an NFL owner's kid. So it was beautiful. And he's using daddy's money and all that stuff. So, yeah. Tony Khan is going to have the biggest crash out WrestleMania weekend once he sees Ethan Page and Ricky Saints tear the house down and then Cody, you know, in the main event of WrestleMania again, the third time.
Speaking of Nick Khan, have you guys watched the WrestleMania 9 documentary yet on Peacock?
No.
Is that a yes or a no? You both spoke at the same time.
I have not.
Jason, have you?
I also have not. Why is 9 memorable and why is it worthy of a documentary?
Because it really and to be fair, when I do the Big Five project with PC Tunney and Dave, and we put out an episode about every other month, we just went through WrestleMania 9 about four or five chapters ago, and the event is most notable because that was where Bret Hart defended the WWF World Heavyweight Championship against Royal Rumble winner Yokozuna. And this was, I believe, the first Royal Rumble where they officially said the Royal Rumble winner gets a shot at the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania. So Yoko won, Bret wrestled him. This is the one where Hogan came out at the end because Fuji had hit Bret with the salt. Bret lost to Yoko. Hogan comes out to help Bret and he ends up getting himself shoehorned into an impromptu World Heavyweight Championship match and beats Yokozuna 4 minutes after Yoko won the belt. So they talked not only about that, but they talked about the entire process of getting to that. And the way they explained it was because this is largely for the matches themselves, aside from maybe one or two largely forgettable pay-per-view in WWE's history. But the way they explain it, the way they break it down, it makes you appreciate it more because you look at the process of what went into this WrestleMania becoming a thing, how they transformed Caesar's Palace parking lot into this thing. And, you know, there were only 16,000 people in attendance. So for WrestleMania standards, it was pretty small. It was a pretty small event, but it ended up grossing like over $1 million. Ended up actually being rather successful for them. But what's neat is the process behind it and some of the, they go into a little bit of the backstage politics. You know, Bret talks very candidly about the match and with Yoko and, you know, how Hogan pretty much shoehorned himself back into things. They talk a little bit about that. It's a very,
hard had shit to say about Hulk Hogan.
I know that's hard to believe. I know that I may be reaching here a little bit, but yeah. But the interesting thing was towards the very end, there's a very, very young Nick Khan who's an usher. Like, he's literally just an usher for talent. They show him in the background. He's standing behind, I think, Fink. at one point, and it's a very, very young Nick Khan, and they briefly touch on it, how he went from being an usher to literally being the guy in charge of WWE. And it's, like I said, the whole documentary is fascinating. I wish you guys had seen it so we could talk about it a little bit more. I would strongly recommend it because especially if you disliked WrestleMania 9, this shows the whole thing in a new light. And one thing that I found interesting is that while they didn't beat you over the head with Vince McMahon, they didn't entirely delete him from the history of it either. Like, he's very prevalent in the documentary while not being the focal point of the documentary. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's exactly how we want to talk to him, talk about him on this show, and we wish people would refer to him.
That's exactly it.
Refer to him in historical fashion at this point.
And that's 100% what it was.
So was there a bunch of like Bruce Pritchard revisionist history going on, or?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And he's in it quite a bit, but, you know, the Undertaker's in it. There's a lot of people that I've never even heard of, people that used to work there and don't work for them anymore. Like, they went back and dug up some people who haven't worked for the company for quite some time, and they talked about their experience at the time and just the production behind putting the whole thing together. It's a really fascinating documentary. It's really well done.
Nice. Well, we'll have to check that out, and we'll do a maybe more in-depth episode at some other time.
Yeah, absolutely. If you guys ever watch it, and we can line it all up maybe after we get done with our WrestleMania coverage, because something we collectively talked about was I've had at least one person reach out to me and wanted to be a guest on the show to talk WrestleMania, and these episodes get long, and when you're talking about a two-night WrestleMania, you really, between the three of us, we can get long-winded. If you've been paying attention long enough, we really get to talking. You get a fourth person in here on these longer shows, and next thing you know, you've got a two and a half, three-hour podcast, and I don't want to do that to our listeners. I think you guys deserve to not listen to us talk for damn near 3 hours. But what we want to do in the next couple weeks is invite our friends on. Former co-hosts, former, you know, people who have been on here before, people who have been listening to us for a long time that want to come in. And I think over the next couple of weeks, we're going to invite those folks in. We're going to get their thoughts on this year's WrestleMania. So we may have, you know, a few weeks, at least a couple of good weeks of post-WrestleMania coverage before we move on and get into Backlash and everything going into the summer.
Yeah, I can't wait, because WrestleMania season gets crazy. And then we have, you know, Chair Shot folks and all that stuff that we're on podcasts, they're on our podcasts and all that. But yeah, you're right. After Mania, we should get some folks on here and just talk, you know, kind of cool down and just talk wrestling.
Yeah, we'll get over the post-WrestleMania slump and, you know, have some good content for our listeners, because we appreciate you guys. And, you know, while we want to talk to our friends, we also don't want to turn this into a six-hour, you know, episode, which could happen very quickly with, you know, the stuff we want to talk about, because there's so much going on. Like, I'm looking at this WrestleMania card, and while I'm going to stop short of saying this one could be an all-timer, I think there's some matches in here that could really, really make this a memorable weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be insane. So yep. I hope we all have a good time.
And I think we will. And with that, I have nothing more, unless either one of you two has anything.
Happy WrestleMania, everybody.
Yes.
All right. And with that, I'm going to go back around the room and thank my co-hosts here, starting with the host of the Rob the Genius podcast, DJ, get it right, Mr. Rob, sir. Thank you.
Yes, it is always a pleasure to be here. And to engage in racial humor that hopefully all of you get that were listening. Okay.
If you've been listening to us for any length of time, you know this is not new with us.
Right.
We're all good friends here, and we all take it as it's meant to be taken.
Yes.
And the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, Jason, sir. Thank you for another awesome episode. This was a lot of fun tonight.
The Grand Wizard.
The Grand Wizard. I'm officially adding that to your intro next week.
Jesus Christ. The first off. I know exactly where the line is, Rob. That's why I can
Then you know, the sad thing is, most of our listeners have no idea what that title is, even is.
Yeah, probably not. Don't look it up.
We're dating
it's
ourselves.
It's not a Chris Jericho gimmick.
No, it's we're dating ourselves throwing that title out there. Okay.
God, bro.
Jason, sir, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Before we get out of here, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirt options available from your favorite Chair Shot Radio Network podcasts, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Go over there, check out a t-shirt. The starving artist on all these shows will thank you. Your body will thank you if you spend a couple extra bucks and pick one up in soft style. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling, you can call it sports entertainment, you can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we're out of here until next week. Enjoy WrestleMania.